Well, we have, on Sunday mornings, we've been in Matthew's Gospel, and in the last few weeks, we've been looking at the what are known as the Beatitudes. They're found in Matthew chapter 5, and from verses 3 onwards. And we have come this morning to the words in verse 9, and they're on your service sheet as well. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. That's the seventh beatitude, the seventh blessing, if you like. See those words there? Blessed are, literally, blessed are those who are peacemaking or make peace, because they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. That's the verse. Those are the words of Christ. Now, when he speaks about peacemakers, his focus of interest is on relationships among his disciples, or for us, Christ is thinking about relationships among Christians in the church. That's his particular focus. And so we're thinking about the relationships between Christians, between brothers and sisters, and peacemakers are those who, when a good relationship among Christians is broken, when it's broken, they put it right. Okay, that's what peacemaking is, to put the broken relationship right. In other words, if we become enemies of one another, sometimes the Bible speaks like that, that people become enemies of one another. The peacemaker is one who makes them friends. Again, friends again. So when you think this is what Christ is beginning to speak or speaking to his disciples about, those who make peace where people have broken their relationship, they come and they put it right. Now, before we go any further, you will know, I think, that this peacemaking is the work of brotherly love. You can't detach peacemaking from brotherly love, love of one another. And this is a case of where brotherly love in the heart produces or gives rise to unity in the church. Okay? So love in the heart has an effect and it produces unity in the church. Or to put it another way, this peacemaking, it fosters Christian fellowship. We sang just now about dwelling together. We think about the church in its unity and in the fellowship or the communion of the saints. And it is the love of the heart which produces the activity, if you like, of making peace, which fosters this kind of relationship or this kind of situation in the church. Now, we're thinking now with Christ about being peacemakers. And I suspect already some of you will be thinking, yes, and this is a very difficult thing to do. Is that not right? Is it not very difficult to be a peacemaker? This is no easy task. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon has written this. He says, a brother, this is Proverbs 18, chapter 18, verse 19. He says, a brother offended, or the word literally means, a brother trespassed or transgressed against. Not just he's taken offense, but something wrong has been done to him. a brother transgressed against is, if you like, more than a strong city. In other words, to win back a brother that you have transgressed against, it's easier to capture a strong city. And he goes on, and strifes or contentions are like the bars of a citadel. And Solomon is obviously thinking about how hard it is to win back a brother or a sister who you have hurt, you have done something wrong to. It's translated a brother offended, but sometimes we can take offense where we shouldn't, and sometimes we're too touchy and sensitive. But it's not that. It's where a brother has reason to be offended because something wrong has been done to him. A brother transgressed against is harder to win, so to speak, than a city that is strong. So you can see, for a moment, let's see how difficult this work is. The starting point is that the people are opposed. We start with being opposed. And the brother is resentful. And he is bitter and he has rejected you. And he doesn't want to talk to you, and he blames you. That's what you're facing. You're facing a difficult situation where your brother or sister is angry with you, regards you as an enemy. And you can put other words on this, but you're facing someone who is opposed to you. And you're, as a peacemaker, you are aiming to bring that person to unite with you as a friend, to make friends. Strangers, too. There's two dimensions to this. First of all, there's those who have been sinned against. That's what Christ is speaking about in Matthew 18. Those who have been sinned against. And the peacemaker goes to, as it were, reconcile them to himself, bring them back into friendship. But I think there's a wider dimension to this. If you like, the greater is peacemaking. There's a lesser level as well. And it's where, for example, when a stranger comes into the church. And again, your starting point, you've got nothing. You don't start with anything. You don't know them. You don't know their background. But it's the same process, if you like, of bringing that person into close fellowship with you in the body of Christ. If you like, you start with a stranger. You start with zero and you're aiming for 100%. But with the offended party, you're minus 100% and you're trying to get to 100%. You're not even off to a standing start. The person is, if you like, is in reverse gear. This is the difficulty of what's involved. So Christ is talking about those who undertake a very hard thing to do. Peacemaking. But what I want you to notice is the very word peacemaking is an active word. Making means doing something. Taking steps. You see, the word peacemaker, it contains activity in it. It's an active word. In 1 Peter chapter 3, you don't need to turn to it, I'll read it to you. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter quotes Psalm 34. And these are the words. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Hear those words? Let him seek peace and pursue it. He doesn't say, well, let him sit quiet and wait for peace to come to him. He doesn't say, let his brother come to him and sort it out. He says, let him seek peace. In other words, that's his aim and his goal, and let him pursue it, chase it, follow it, try to get it, okay? Now, in that verse, in that passage, Peter talks about, before he quotes Psalm 34, he talks like this. Listen, he says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind." One mind. Listen. Let me turn to this a minute. I'm going to read it from the Greek because I don't like the translation. "Let you all be of one mind," and he says, "and fellow feeling." Fellow feeling. He's gone from thinking to feeling. Having compassion, suffering with one another. He says, "and brotherly love." Brotherly love. He says, and the word is, you know, bowels of compassion. As he was stooping down, Peter is describing what should be the case in the relationship among brothers and sisters in the Church of Christ. This is how it should be. And then Peter says, now listen, seek it, chase it, look for it, pursue it. Let him seek peace and pursue it. The point that I'm making is this, that peacemaking is an active thing. It's not passive. If you like, those who are peacemakers, they go where they don't want to go. Okay? Perhaps many of you have been in an experience where your relationship with your brother has been broken. And if that happens, you don't want to go there, do you? You don't want to tap his front door, meet him in the church, look him in the eye, speak to him. There's avoidance. But the peacemaker goes even where he doesn't want to go in order to seek peace and pursue it. Now, let me just ask you to reflect on this for a little bit longer and then we'll move on. Some Christians, today particularly, do not assemble in the body of Christ. This is true. There are some Christians who will stay at home and they will, so-called, it's not, but they will worship online. And that is in complete disobedience to the Word of God, which calls us to assemble, because it calls us to assemble together in the same place, to see one another's faces, to sing together. This is a great disgrace and a trap of the devil in this generation. Some come to church, good, they worship with their brethren, and they get out through the door as soon as possible. They leave quickly. And again, all right, they're here, but do you not see that by going off and leaving, you are closing off the opportunity for fellowship, for brotherly love, for unity? And if you like, the one who just gets out and in a way, this is the very opposite of being a peacemaker. The peacemaker is someone who goes, as it were, to build and repair and establish relationships in the body of Christ. You see, God has placed us in the body of Christ, the body of his Son. And this is why it is so imperative for us to be peacemakers. Now, Matthew 18, we read Matthew 18 because in Matthew 18, I'm not going to exegete it, in Matthew 18, the Lord Jesus tells us to take steps to repair broken relationships. He tells us how to do it, how to go about it. You know the passage, you can read it again. But after he taught them how to be peacemakers, so to speak, he then warned them how terrible a thing it is not to forgive your brother. It is a terrible thing if someone goes to you as a peacemaker and you harden your face and refuse to forgive him. Yes, he's done wrong. But what if you don't forgive him? You know, the Bible is so full of warnings. In another place in Proverbs it says, the Lord hates what? He hates the one who sows discord among the brethren. You know, there are people, peculiarly wicked, who seem to take delight in whispering and doing the devil's work and dividing brothers. And the Proverbs 6 says the Lord hates that. He hates it. But in Christ's parable, he also is angry when we will not forgive. How can we not forgive our brothers when we have been forgiven much? The money values in that chapter, it's basically the master forgives his servant a lifetime's debt. And the wicked servant won't forgive his fellow servant a piffling amount, a week's wages or whatever it is, something small. Now, this is what our Lord is saying. You know, the wonderful thing, if you like, and in the Beatitudes, all the time we are seeing what the Holy Spirit does in the soul and heart of a child of God. When Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, that's because, by the power of the Holy Spirit, there are peacemakers. He's not talking about mythical figures. He's talking about real Christians who've been born again of the Holy Spirit. And they have come to be peacemakers. Now then, Christ says about them, he says, they shall be called sons of God. They shall be called sons of God. Don't miss that. Really, when Christ says they shall be called sons of God, he's actually saying to us, have you considered God? Have you thought about God, his character, and what he has done? You see, God is the peacemaker. He is the peacemaker. Let me read to you. Please just listen. I'm reading to you from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Listen. For it pleased the Father. Well, we'll come on to that in a minute. By Christ, listen. You know these words, don't you? To reconcile all things to himself. Whether things on earth or in heaven. Listen. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, he goes on to the Colossians. You who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet God has now reconciled. Paul, that's Colossians chapter 1, and I'm reading from verses 19 to 21. Listen, it says, Paul says to them, you Colossians, and he might as well say you in this church as well, you were once alienated, that means separated from God, and enemies in your mind by wicked works. This is a terrible picture of the rebellious, sinful man. He says, that's what you once were. But he says, don't you understand? God has removed your offense from his sight. How did he remove your offense to him from his sight? Well, he took your guilt and put it on his son. It's by the blood of his cross that he did that. He has taken enemies who have deeply offended him with a lifetime of disobedience, and he has taken their sin and guilt and placed it on his son. And then when he looks at them, he says, I see that no more on them. It's been laid on Christ. The blood of his cross. And the blood of his cross, the suffering of Christ, is the means by which he has reconciled us to himself. There is a hymn, perhaps we could have sung it today. There's a line, and sinners welcomed in. And sinners welcomed in. God is the great peacemaker of our lives. He has made peace for us. He has reconciled us. If you are a Christian today, if you are trusting in Christ and his death for your sins, God has reconciled you to himself. You, sinner, have been welcomed in. No wonder somebody wrote the hymn, who is a pardoning God like thee, who has grace so rich, so free? And in that chapter in Colossians, it says this. It says, it pleased the Father to do this. In other words, why did all this happen? It came from his will, his goodwill. And what was that goodwill? That goodwill was to love us. Sometimes people ask the question, why, O Lord, such love to me? And we can't answer that question. We can only say it's there in the will of God. He decreed to do this against people or for people who do not deserve it. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Lord, why did you will to reconcile me, us, to you? And when the Lord Jesus says, they shall be called the sons of God, what he's really saying is that the Holy Spirit has or will transform their mind. The Holy Spirit will transform their mind so that they are shaped like God. They bear the image of God. When a child of God has been brought by God to be a peacemaker, you can say, there is someone like God. In that respect, he is resembling the Lord. And that is the work of God in our souls. When we're born again, the work of sanctification, of transformation, begins and goes on. And it involves us learning to be peacemakers. When it says we should be called the sons of God, it simply means we'll be recognized as the sons of God and acknowledged as the sons of God. Yes, it's one thing to be recognized as a child of God by your neighbors. It's a much greater thing to be acknowledged as a child of God by God himself. They shall be called the sons of God. As it says in Revelation, his name shall be on their foreheads. He will acknowledge them as his sons. We get the same thing when Christ says to his disciples, he says, I want you, this is my commandment, my new commandment, that you love one another. What? As I have loved you, that you love one another. He says, and by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. These are, if you like, these are the badges or the marks of an authentic Christian. A true disciple of Christ. Our lives come to the point where we are peacemakers, brothers and sisters who love one another. You know, if you've read your Bible, you know there's a great need for this. I don't know, maybe half of the letters of the New Testament address this need. Romans does, Corinthians does, Philippians does, Ephesians does, and so on. James, Peter, the letter to Philemon. Everywhere you find this need is identified to be peacemakers. History teaches us that we need it. Look at the record of the church's history. How many times disunity, schism, strife, and so on. And surely our own experience teaches us how necessary this is. May God grant us that out of a humble reliance upon his Son and a deep sense of being forgiven, we might be peacemakers, men who love, men who forgive. We're coming to the table of Christ in a little moment. And there we will remember that God is our peacemaker. There we are reconciled by the blood of his Son. Amen.